Today is Mother's Day. There's no better place to be on Mother's Day than in church. Did you know that Mother's Day started in church? This wasn't the government's idea. It wasn't popular culture's idea. Mother's Day is the church's idea. Started in a little Methodist church in West Virginia. By the way, a lot of good things started in church, in case you didn't know that. Abolition started in church. The civil rights movement started in church. The Holy Spirit stirred the hearts of Christians to stand up against injustice. And the Christian church is still the number one leader worldwide in fighting hunger, providing clothing and medical care to those in need. Church is not perfect, but there's still nothing quite like the church. I like it. I believe that the church is the greatest hope this world has, and I'm glad that you're sitting in church today. So tell somebody, you're in the right place today. Come on, tell somebody else, you're in the right place today. And this morning, seeing as how it's Mother's Day and all, I want to teach using one of the mothers of the Bible. We don't know very much about her. In fact, we don't even know her name. Yet she is mentioned not only in the Old Testament, but she's also mentioned in the New Testament, and she's even mentioned by Jesus Christ himself, talking about the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath did not start out as a woman of faith. She did not begin her journey as a woman of faith. She was about to give up and die, and yet something happened in her life, and she became a great woman of faith, even being mentioned in the Bible in both Testaments. That is hope for you and me. You might not start out being a man of faith or a woman of faith. You might not start out the right way, but you can finish strong. You can end well.
All right.
And this is the key to it all. The widow of Zarephath responded to the word of God. She responded to the word of God. And the way that she responded took her from a woman of doubt to a woman of faith. To a woman who was weak in the flesh to being strong in the Lord. And how you respond to the word of God will make all the difference in your life. It's the difference between sickness and healing. It's the difference between poverty and abundance. It's the difference between depression and joy. It's the difference between bondage and freedom. How you respond to the word of God is the difference between life and death, heaven or hell. It's all about how you respond. And today I want to give you three truths about the word of God so that you can respond the right way and that you too can be a person of faith. Nobody starts out a man or woman of faith. Do you understand that? None of us start out as a person of great faith, but God gives every one of us opportunities to become people of faith. When we encounter the word of God, God is looking for men and women who are willing to take him at his word. Look with me at verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. This morning, I want to tell you three things about the word of God. Three things the word of God does. Number one, the word of God will change your direction. Tell somebody, it will change your direction. At this point in history, Israel is under the leadership of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. Israel, which once followed the true and living God, had fallen away from their faith in God and fell into idol worship. And they worshiped the pagan god Baal, who claimed to be the god of weather. And in a bold confrontation with King Ahab and Jezebel, Elijah said to them, it shall not rain in Israel except at my word. In other words, God was saying to them, you know what? You claim to worship the God of weather, but you're about to find out who really controls the weather. And after this showdown, God led Elijah to go down to the creek side. He stayed by the brook Cherith, where God provided for him. And he drank water from the stream, and ravens brought him food delivered by airmail every day. Dropping cheeseburgers by the creek. He was drinking from the stream. He was being fed by birds, and it might not have been comfortable, but it was dependable. And Elijah came to rely on the provisions there. He got used to it. Okay, it might not be gourmet food that I want, but it comes the same time every day. I might have to pick some feathers out of it, but I'm still getting fed on the regular. I got water to drink. But then look at what happened. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And what did God say? Arise and go. God said to him, Elijah, leave where you are. When the word of God came to Elijah, it changed his direction. So I want you to say this. Look at somebody and tell them, the word of God will change your direction. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? I believe it because I've lived it. The word of God has changed my direction. When I had an encounter with the word of God, it changed the way I think. It changed the way I talk. It changed the places I went. It changed the way I treated people. The word of God will change your direction. There are times when the word of God will come to you and God will say to you, leave where you are. The word of God will say, leave your old way of thinking. Leave your old way of living. It's time to arise and go and leave your old lifestyle and leave your old circle of friends and leave your old habits and leave your old environments. The word of God will change your direction. It's time to leave and stop looking at the things you're looking at and listening to the things you're listening to. And it's time to stop saying the things you've been saying. Oh, yeah, the word of God will even change your vocabulary. It will change the direction of your speech. Word of God will change your direction. Word of God will confront you and say, arise and go and get out of where you are to the place that I am leading you. So here is Elijah at the brook Cherith, and God says, arise and go to Zarephath. After camping out at the creek and being fed by birds, I'm sure that Elijah was probably ready for a change of scenery. In fact, he may have even been excited about a change in direction. Why? Because God said to Elijah, I'm going to send you to Zarephath where I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you. And Elijah got happy. God said, he's going to take me to a place of provision. God himself has prepared this widow woman to take care of me. That must be one rich widow woman. Woo, she got a Mercedes out front and a Beamer in the back. I bet she's got air conditioning and she knows how to make all my favorite foods. Oh, Scott, I bet it's a big old guest house. Wouldn't you think that? After all, he did it for Elisha. The Shunammite woman was a great woman. She was a wealthy woman. She was an influential woman. She was a powerful woman. She had so many resources that she built Elisha a pool house and said, you can stay here whenever you pass through the area. He did it for Elisha. So Elijah gets all happy and he goes down to Zarephath. And when he gets there, he says, dear Jesus, this woman is poorer than I am. I mean, she's about to make one more meal and die. That doesn't sound like provision to me. Elijah went there expecting prosperity and provision, but when he got there, all he found was poverty, lack, limitation. Interestingly, the name Zarephath means refiner's fire. Oh, God has a way of using adversity and the unexpecteds of life to refine us and to purify us and to change us and to perfect us and to make us more like Jesus. You see, when God leads you and when you arrive at that destination and things are not as you thought it should be, maybe God's trying to change the way you should be. Maybe he's got you in the refiner's fire because there's some stuff that he needs to take off of you and chip away from you. And maybe he needs to put you in a high pressure environment because sometimes the things of God won't come any other way. Sometimes God will lead you to Zarephath. But even in Zarephath, God provides. Number one, the word of God will change your direction. Number two, the word of God will demand a response. Yes. Have you noticed that God has a way of bringing you to the point of decision? The word of God will demand that you make a decision in response to what the word says to you. Look at verse 10. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God." Did you notice that? She wasn't even a believer. I always know when somebody's got one foot out of the door because they go from saying our church and my church to your church. Elijah, as your God lives. In other words, he's not my God, but I know that he's God. I know he's your God. Come on. At some point, you were saying your God. As the Lord your God lives. All I've got is a handful of flour and a little oil in a jar, and I'm gathering a couple of sticks to rub them together so that my son and I might eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." That was a confrontation from the word of God. "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And then afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." What happened when the widow met Elijah? Elijah gave her a word from God, and the word of God put a demand on her life. God said, "Oh, I'm going to bless you if you do what I say. I'm going to bless you if you do what I tell you to do." You know, sometimes the word of God will cost you something. Sometimes the word of God will require something from you. Sometimes the word of God will require a change in the way you live. Sometimes the word of God will demand something out of you. So Elijah said, "Don't fear. Do as you've said, but make me a cake first. And once I've been fed, then afterwards go make some self for you and for your son." God's promise was to provide for this woman, but in order for her to receive the miracle, she had to first trust God with what she had in her hand. Oh, I've heard it 1,000 times. If I won the lotto, I would pay off the church and I would feed the hungry and I would bless the nations and send missionaries around the world. And you don't tithe on the $5 that you've got right now. If you don't tithe now, you ain't gonna tithe later. This Mother's Day, I better keep going. She had to trust God with what she had in her hand before God would give her the miracle that he promised her. You have to understand that the Word of God will always demand something from you. You cannot receive the blessing of God without first walking in obedience to his Word. In other words, if you want to be blessed without obeying God, well, bless your heart. Y'all know what that means? That's slang in the South for you are very dumb. If you expect God to bless you and yet you're not living in obedience to his word, you are very, very dumb. Put that on Twitter. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Oh, God wants to bless you, and God wants to provide for you, and God wants to intervene in your life, but you have to do things his way. Yes. The kingdom of God is not like Burger King. Yeah. You cannot just pull up to the Lord and just order whatever you want and say, "I'm going to have it my way." This is not a democracy where everybody gets a vote. This is a kingdom where he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what he says goes. Isaiah said, "If you be willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land." Do you understand that if the widow of Zarephath had not obeyed what Elijah said to her, she and her son would have starved to death? You understand that? God wants to provide for you and take care of you, but you must do what he says in order for him to bless you. 1 Samuel 15:22 says that obedience is better than sacrifice. So tell somebody, obey the word. Tell somebody else, obey the word. Now tell yourself, obey the word. 1 Kings 17, verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." So Elijah says to her, "Woman, make me a sandwich." Make me a sandwich. And isn't that just like a chicken-eating preacher to tell that poor woman to cook him some food first? Isn't that rude? Some of y'all, if Elijah came to your house, you cuss him out, kick him out, you get offended. What you mean make you a sandwich first? I'm about to starve to death. But the truth is, Elijah was not being rude. Elijah was obeying God. In this story, we see a kingdom principle at work. When you put God first, then he provides the rest. You put God first, he provides the rest. I want you to say that. Put God first, and he provides the rest. So Elijah looked at her and said, "Make me some first, and then make some for you and your son." Does that sound familiar? That sounds like something I heard in the New Testament that Jesus said. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." Seek God first, and then what does God promise? That he will add everything else to you. Too many people have the mindset, well, it's all or nothing. If I give God all that I have, I won't have anything left over. But that's not how God works. It's not all or nothing. It's all for everything. When you put God first and you honor the Lord, he will bless you with everything else that you need. My Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Pastor, are you preaching prosperity? Are you talking about prosperity, church? No, I'm preaching the Bible. That's what the word says. This is not what I say. It's what God says. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, Lord, the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. If God delights in the prosperity of his servant, think about this for a moment. Paul said in Galatians that you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir with Jesus Christ. If God delights in prospering his servants, how much more does God want to provide for you, bless you, and take care of you when you are his child? Come on, child of God, say, I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. My God is a good father. He delights in blessing his children. My heavenly father is richer than Donald Trump. He owns it all. He wants to bless me. God doesn't want you sick, broke, busted, disgusted. Those who disobey the commandments of the law, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, you fall under the curse of the law. What is the curse of disobedience? Two things, poverty and sickness. Galatians 3:13 says what? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That means Jesus paid the price to set you free from sin, to set you free from sickness, and to set you free from poverty. And by the way, I've already taken up the offering, so don't even say I got some ulterior motives up here today. I'm here to tell you the truth and put you in a position for God to bless you and to prosper you. I mean, you can give online if you want to, but listen, if the widow had not obeyed the word of God, and had she not put the kingdom of God first, she never would have been blessed. Come on, tell your neighbor, obey the word. God loves to bless his children, but the problem is that very few of us are willing to put ourselves in a position to be blessed of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto you. And in case you missed it, God wants to add the other things to you. Did y'all pick up on that? You seek him first and God will bless you with the rest. But you've got to obey him first. If you put him first, he promised to what? Open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you do not have room in your bank account. You do not have room in your house. You do not have room in your garage. You're going to have to give it away. That's how much God wants to bless you. Put God first. Thank you for that golf clap of praise. God bless you for that. Where two or three are clapping, I will preach good. All right. Put God first. Give him the first portion and God will bless the rest of it. We see this in the Garden of Eden with Cain and Abel. God blessed Abel. He didn't bless Cain. Why? Because Abel gave God the first of what he had, whereas Cain gave God some of what he had. Abel gave him the first portion. Cain gave him the leftovers. We see this again with Achan. When they took Jericho, God said, Jericho is mine. You can have all the other cities in the land, but the spoils of Jericho belong to me. In other words, Jericho was the tithe. And what happened is Achan went in there and he took some of what was God's. He took some of the first portion for himself and his whole family was destroyed. You see, you put God first and you'll be blessed, but you take for yourself first, you're going to have problems. Come on, tell somebody, put God first. All right, it's Mother's Day. I better get happy and sweet here for a moment. I'm closing. I'm almost finished. Three things. Number one, the Word of God will change your direction. Number two, the Word of God will demand a response from you. And number three, the Word of God will deliver you. Amen. The Word of God will deliver you. Yeah. I want to have special church come to the keyboard. God sent Elijah to Zarephath, and God put a demand on the widow woman, and she obeyed the word of the Lord, and God delivered on his promise. Yeah. Verse 16 says, the vat of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Listen, they were in the middle of a famine. They were in a tough situation. But she got a word from God. She obeyed that word. And God was faithful to do what he said he would do. Listen, God is faithful. I want you to know that he is faithful. God will do what he said he would do, even if it doesn't look like it in the natural, even if everything around you says otherwise, even if God promised to provide and all you have is enough flour and enough oil to eat one last meal and die. I'm telling you this morning that God is faithful to his word. He will do what he said he would do. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? You can trust him. Come on, tell somebody you can trust him. How you respond to the word of God will determine your quality of life. Your response to God makes all the difference. Faith in God changes everything. Do you realize that God doesn't respond to need? Think about that. Jesus himself said there were plenty of widows in Israel. But God sent Elijah where to Zarephath. Why? Because there was a woman he knew who would take him at his word and believe him. Oh, there are needs all around us. But God is not moved by need. He cares about your need. God responds to faith. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need a breakthrough in your life, have faith in God. Take him at his word. Believe his promise and stand on the word of God for your life. Trust him and believe him. And he will make good on everything that he's promised. So the word of God will direct you. It will make a demand from you. But it will ultimately deliver you. My challenge to you today is this. Respond to the word of God in faith. Take God at his word and do what he tells you to do. And ultimately God will deliver you. He will keep you. And he will sustain you. I'm so glad I can take him at his word. Aren't you glad for that? Will you stand with me for a moment as we get ready to close today? As I come to a close, I want to shift gears for just a little bit. And I want us to look at the end of the story. See, God provided for the widow woman through the famine. But after the famine, the Bible says that tragedy struck her family. Verse 16 says, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. But it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, she got upset. She said, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. The Bible says that Elijah took him to the upper room, laid his hands on him, and God brought life back into him. But what did she do? She gave him to Elijah. If you're here this morning on Mother's Day and you have a child or children and they're not serving God, I want this story to speak into your life today. Don't give up hope. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting God. If you will take that child and put them in God's hands, hand them over to the Lord and trust him, God will be faithful to his promise. You're not God, but you know what? He is. And you can trust him, and his word cannot fail. He will do what he said he would do. Let's take a moment and pray today. Lord, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing you cannot do. And Lord, we're going to stand on your promise and trust you and believe you for the impossible, because you are the God of impossibilities. Nothing is too difficult for you. And Lord, help us to be people of faith, God. Help us to stand on your word, to take you at your word, to believe you and to trust you, God, no matter what the world around us is saying. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to your promises. And God, right now we pray for the sons and daughters who are not serving you. We pray for the mothers and fathers who are lost without you. God, we just pray right now. God, we're not going to give up on them. We're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop believing. We're not going to stop burying our face in the carpet and calling out their name and lifting them up before you. God, we are going to pray for them. We're going to intercede. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would send people across their path to talk about Jesus. Oh, Lord, remind them, God. Remind them of what your word says. Remind them, Lord, that you're faithful and true. Lord, let everywhere they go be a reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Lord, for those who have fallen away from the faith, God, remind them of the times that they've had in your presence, God, where they've been touched by your glory and touched by your presence and touched by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for drawing them to yourself. For saving them, redeeming them, delivering them, setting them free in the mighty name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, as we stand in your presence today and pray, Lord, I ask that you would take these truths and that you would stir our hearts. God, that we would not be people of fear, but people of faith. And Lord, when you come and bring your word and make a demand from us, God, may we respond and say yes. Thank you, Jesus. While we're praying, I believe that there's somebody here today and somebody listening to this message this morning. You need a new direction in your life. Maybe you're here today and you've drifted away from God, or you're living in a lifestyle of sin. Maybe you're lost without Jesus in your life. Maybe you feel hopeless today, but I'm here to tell you this morning that you have hope in Jesus Christ. He is the hope for the hopeless. Jesus loves you. He can and he will save you and deliver you and set you free if you put your trust in him. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know how I've been living. You don't know what kind of life I'm living in right now. Listen, the Bible says that the arm of the Lord is not short, that he cannot save. If he's got to reach all the way down to the bottom of the barrel, God is able to reach you right where you are. And if you will come to Jesus, put your faith in him, he will set you free. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I believe the word of God has come to make a demand on your life today, and this is what God demands. Take him at his word. Believe what he says. Put your faith in Jesus and he'll save you. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning and listening online and by CD, God, who have not put their faith in you. God, I thank you that you love them, that you care for them. Lord, you have called them by name. You know right now where they are. You know their situation. You know their heart. God, I thank you that you love them and you care for them and that you desire to set them free. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would be bold enough to put their faith in you today. God, to take you at your word, to trust and believe in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with your help, I will live for you. I will serve you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And let's just celebrate that for a moment today. Oh God, we thank you that you're faithful to your word. We praise you, Lord. We worship you this morning. Hallelujah. You can be seated for just another moment, one more time as the ushers come.